I have something that is very heavily laid on my heart in light of everything that I just said to you, in light of where we are at this moment in this ministry. I have something that is very heavily laid on my heart, and I mean this with all of my heart. I truly, truly do. We're going through Matthew, and I had this laid on my heart and then opened up to Matthew because we're going through Matthew. And these next verses perfectly support and say and show what is laid on my heart. I was trying to think where would I go for a text? And then I just opened it up and I thought, well, that's it. I want to read the parable of the sower. All right. The parable of the sower. Matthew 13, verse 1. It says, "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Now, clearly from what our Lord just said right here, we can see that salvation is in the hands of the Lord. He said, this is what he said right here. He said, I speak in parables. He gave this parable and they said, why do you speak in parables? He said, I speak in parables because to some it is given to understand, and to some it is not. To some it's given to understand, and to some it's not. He said, the ones that I give hearing ears to and seeing eyes to, they will hear and they will see. But if I don't give those ears and if I don't give those eyes, there's no hope for that soul. Did we see that that's what he said? It's no hope for that soul. He said, if I do not make a sinner ready and willing and able to receive my word. He called it good ground. If you're going to plant a garden, what do you do to the ground? You break it. You turn it. You till it. You de-root everything that was there before for a new root's coming in, a new seed, a new root. You take out that which was old. You plant that which is new. And he said, if I don't do that to a sinner, this is what will happen. Either the word that is sown is either going to go in one ear and out the other. He said, that's called wayside. Oblivious. Oblivious. And I'm going to tell you something. If God does not have mercy and grace on me, that's me. If I come in here on my own, in my own flesh, I will sit here, I will witness all this, I will hear all this, I'll read all this, and I will be oblivious. No idea. No idea. If God doesn't do something for me and have mercy on me. Or, he said, when the word goes out, a person will initially see, wait a minute, yeah, that's what the script, I've never seen that before. With anon, he'll receive it with joy. But as soon as the scripture persecutes that person, yeah, they may go out and tell people and they'll receive some persecution from people, but this word persecutes this flesh. As soon as tribulation comes because of the word, that person is offended and angered by it, and hard-hearted toward it, and said, stop right there. Just, nope, not receiving that. He says, a stony heart. Or, the Lord said, a person will hear it and will be intrigued at first, but will be more interested in the things of this world and will pay their attention to the things of this world. And they will follow after the things of this world and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life and all those things will choke out the heart and the will and the desire to follow Christ. It'll just choke it out. But our Lord said, the man or the woman who I have broken that good ground and turned and tilled and made ready, the man or the woman who is the recipient of the work of my hand, when that man or woman receives the seed of my word, they will see it. They will hear it. It will sink down into the heart and they will believe it. And it'll produce the fruit of faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Some 60. 30, some 60, some 100. You know, the apostles said, Lord, increase our faith. I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. And he said, they're going to be saved. He said, if a man has faith as the seed of a grain of a mustard seed, he's going to be saved. Now, this is what I pray the Lord will burden all of our hearts with this morning. Salvation is God's doing. Period. Salvation is God's work. It is God's choice on whom He chooses to give it to. But God said right here that He has chosen to use the means of sending forth laborers into the field. Laborers, laborers, laborers. Sowers of seed, sowers of seed, sowers of seed. This attitude that I'm guilty of, that I was guilty of it at one point in my life. It don't matter what you do, God's going to save His people. Oh, He is. It doesn't matter what kind of effort you put in. You know, God is sovereign. But He's chosen to use the means of calling men and women to labor in sowing the seed. Sowing the seed. He said, the seed of My word is going to be planted in My people, and I have chosen to use the means of sending laborers to sow that seed. It's going to be planted, and this is how I've chosen to get it there. I've chosen to call laborers to go sow seed. That's what God's people are. That's what all believers are, sowers of seed. The preacher may be the mouth. He may be the mouth. But it takes the whole body collectively to make this happen. The Lord may lay it on the heart of one of His servants, or He may lay it on the heart of many of His servants, to get on a computer and to send the message all over the world on the internet. I have never loaded a message on the internet. Not one time. I've never loaded a message on sermon audio. I've never loaded a message on YouTube. I've never loaded a message on anything. I don't even know how. I could be taught, but honestly, I don't even know how. Had God not laid it on the hearts of some to take the message, the only way I've ever preached is behind a pulpit. That's it. And had God not laid it on somebody's heart to take that and send it out, the message would stop at those double doors. That's as far as it would go right there. The Lord may be pleased to send one of His servants to preach the message. He may be pleased to send one of His servants to invite someone to come hear the message. I generally don't go out and say, why don't you come hear me preach? You know, somebody asked me this and that, I may say, well, we'd love to have you, you know, come on and meet with us. But it's the calling of all of His servants. The Lord may be pleased to lay it on the hearts of many of His servants to go out and work hard in their job, and the Lord may bless them. And the Lord may give to them. He may give them good jobs and cause them to make good money. And He may lay it on their heart to use it for the furtherance of the gospel, to press the message. Every avenue. Why stop at one? Every avenue. What can we do? There is not one member of the body of Christ that has not been called to the work of the ministry. This is what I want us to get a hold of. We are all in the work of the ministry. Now, all of this came to me because of a question that was asked to me. When I heard this, I thought, that is a fantastic question. What a great question. I was talking to somebody, and I said the word ministry. And this person said, when you say ministry, what do you mean? And I thought, great question. That's a great question. If we are going to give ourselves to the ministry, what do we mean? What should we focus in on? Because a lot of people have a different answer to that question. A lot of people do. If we're going to spend our time and if we're going to spend our efforts and spend our resources wisely and profitably, then what should we be focusing in on? I want to answer that with the word, and then I want to close this with an exhortation, all right? I'm just going to answer that with the word and then close with an exhortation to us. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew 4. Matthew 4, verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, and I will make you as those who make preparations, gather all the things together that are necessary for the work, and go out to a particular place and toil and work and labor, and then bring back with you the fruit of that labor. Fishers of men. I think that is such an interesting way that our Lord said that. Fishers of men. He said, that's the work that I'll call you to do. And he did. He called them to that work. Turn with me to Mark 16. Mark chapter 16. Verse 15. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. He said, go unto all the world and preach the gospel. He said, this is your calling. This is your ministry. He said, Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. Go out and find them and feed them and nourish them with the truth of my gospel. He said, that's your ministry. Not building houses. Not digging wells. Not bringing physical food. I am all for humanitarian efforts. I am all for those who have doing for those who don't have. I'm all for it, but they are humanitarian efforts. The work of the ministry is bringing spiritual food. It's building. He's the master builder. Except the Lord built the house, but it's building a spiritual house. It's a living well. He said, go preach the gospel. Go preach the gospel. Go preach the gospel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So he said, as much as in me is, I'm ready to go do it. Turn with me to Romans 10. Romans 10, verse 13, it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Somebody will hear this and say, I thought God had an elect, chosen people. Always talking about the elect. I thought God had an elect. And I thought Christ died for all of those people. And I thought he redeemed all of those people. And I thought the Spirit was going to call all of those people. I thought this was ordered and sure before the foundation of the world, and none would be lost. God does, God did, God has, God will. I thought this was not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not. It's not. But it has pleased God in His works, according to His will, according to His election, according to all those things. It has pleased God to use the work of His means of calling laborers to sow the seed. That's just what He said He purposed to do. Preaching of His word. The preaching of His word. Verse 17 right here says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. That means God has chosen to use, to send faith into His people, the preaching of the word. The preaching of the gospel. Faith that believes on Christ. Just turn four more pages to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's our ministry. That is our calling. Now, with all that being said, I want to exhort us to, as the Scripture words it, put our hand to the plow. The beloved physician Luke, the writer of the gospel, the penman of the Gospel of Luke, he began that letter by saying, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us," he said, "it seemed good to me to do the same thing." He said, "I take it in hand too." And I want to exhort us to take it in hand too. Take it in hand too. Paul told Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. I want to exhort us and encourage us to not have the mind of good enough is good enough. Does that make sense? Our Lord laid it on the heart of the Apostle Paul to not say, head toward the mark. This is what he said. Press toward the mark. Press toward the mark. Press and keep pressing and keep pressing. So our exhortation this morning is, let's go to work in the ministry of the gospel. Let's labor together in the message of free grace. Free grace. The free grace of God that is completely given to us in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. The work of telling men and women about the rest that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our work. Crying, rest. Let's labor to enter into that rest. The work of slaying man's works. Let's labor to enter into the work of slaying man's works. Slaying the works of the flesh. The work of declaring the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ for all of our salvation. Let's labor in that. His work. As we labor spreading this seed, some of it's going to fall by the wayside. Some of it's going to fall on stony ground. Some of it is going to fall on thorny ground. And as I already said, but for the grace of God, that's me. That's me. I'm wayside. I'm stony. I'm thorny. But by God's grace, some of it's going to fall on ground that has been made ready to receive it. It's going to. And our Lord is going to bless it. And He is going to cause it to bear fruit. He said He would. therefore he will. Now, I keep saying this is what I want us to get a hold of because it is. This is what I want us to get a hold of. Our work will not save anybody. It's not our efforts that save people. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that saves people. But if he gives us a desire for effort, if he gives us a heart to labor in the work of spreading his message, this is what it means. It means he has a people to save. If he burdens us to go throw seed somewhere, it means he's going to plant some of it. He's going to. Our Lord does not do anything in vain. Nothing. His word does not return void. And if he creates a work somewhere, then it means he has purposed to do a work somewhere. Paul, you know, he traveled all over the place. When you read about Paul, he was here, he was there, he was in this city, that city. When he got to Corinth, the Lord said, you stay right there for a year and a half. Just labor right there, work right there. And the reason is because he said, I have much people in this city. He had much people in this city. Therefore, he said, labor mightily in this city. Is that? It's not the labor that creates the result. It's the result that creates the labor. May God be pleased to send much work here. That's my prayer. May God be pleased to send much work here. May he put a fervent heart in us. May he give us the opportunity to preach the gospel clearly, loudly, as often as we can, everywhere we can. May God be pleased to send work here. Our Lord said, this is what he told us. He said, pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into his harvest. Because it means he has a people. If our Lord doesn't send the work, then there's no people. But if he does, then there's going to be a result. So Lord, send the work. Send the work. Open the door. Give us the message. Give us a heart for the ministry of your gospel. Give us a heart for your people. Who are his people? Sinners. That strikes me so much. It's the one that you don't think would be the one. It really is. You know, you think about your circle of people. Pick the worst one in your mind. That's the one you ought to have hope for. Christ came into this world to save sinners. And every now and then, and I think about this all the time, every now and then, you run into somebody who really is a sinner, who really is in need of mercy, somebody who really is broken and tilled. And oh, what a blessing it is. So let me just close here. I want to close by reading these verses to you. Go to 2 Corinthians 9. I was talking to somebody about, you know, us leaving. This is the moment. Here we go. We're leaving this building, going to the next building. And I was telling them, this seems like, to me, I'm just personally impressed and burdened that it seems like the moment to really put our hand to the plow and go to work. And in me trying to explain all that, this person perfectly said, it's time to take the training wheels off. And I said, well said. We've been in training. Now let's go to work. Preaching free grace, not of work. Let's go to work preaching not of works. Let's work as hard as we can to go out and cry, not of works. But with that, verse 6, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. If you've ever planted grass, you go and put a couple seeds out, I wouldn't expect a whole yard of grass. Am I preaching works now? No, I'm preaching the commandment of God. He that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Whatever he lays on your heart to do, he will give you the ability to do it. He will provide. Verse 9, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, he's the one giving the seed. The more you throw, the more he gives. He that ministereth to the sower both ministereth bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. It causes thanksgiving. Really, may God really give us a heart for his ministry, for Christ, for his gospel, for his people. And may he give us a work. A work.